the OTB Podcast Network.
Now, I'm delighted to say Graeme Souness is with us this morning. Graeme, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Before we get into the football, I think the news was made public yesterday. You're going to be part of ITV's punditry panel for the Euro. So congratulations on that. It did make me want to ask you a little bit about what you think of where punditry is these days and how the game has changed, because you've had a front row seat for a good while now.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the football, obviously. Although it's the same job, it's got to be a slightly different experience, I'm sure. And working with some people I've not worked with before, so yeah, I'm just hoping on the 18th of June that I've got, you know, I can sit there proud and stick my chest out and throw a bit of fire back at the English, because that's the day that England play Scotland.
I mean, it's unbelievable to be involved in a tournament at any level where your own team is playing. It's, you know, something that we haven't felt too much on this side of the RC just recently. Why do you think Scotland have recovered from the depths that they've been in?
We've been there for a long time as well. You know, we've not qualified for a long time. I don't know. I have to believe it's a cycle. And I think we've got some decent players now. And I think we'll do okay. Well, you know, we can get out of the group and charge on, I don't know. But I think we'll give a good account of ourselves.
Yeah. I think the good players thing and the cycle, we're desperately hoping that some of our good players start to emerge soon.
When you break it down, as an international manager, you know, you've got how many days, if you play five games, you've got them in total for maybe 5 weeks a year. You know, they're already fit, so it's not about fitness. You're ticking them over. You're trying to impress on them your ideas in such a short period of time. Very, very difficult. Very, very difficult. You know, you can't go out and buy players as an international manager. So it's not an easy job if you're not dealt a good hand. I think, you know, right now Ireland have got young players and they're trying to infuse them slowly. But, you know, as we know in football, everyone's impatient.
Especially fans and the people who employ the managers as well. Can I ask you just generally about the evolution of punditry and where the game has gone? It's funny how important, particularly in English football, the role of the pundit is in shaping public opinion. And I often wonder if, you know, here we're a bit disconnected from it because we don't live where the league is. But I think it's a little bit different, where a lot of pundits have played with clubs and have club loyalties and still have that fan base that they need to speak to, while at the same time they're trying to break free of that. So there's a little bit of creative tension sometimes.
It's a bit early for this, but we'll have a go. Yeah, I think that's a great Irish word for someone, spoofers. You know, I made a decision a long time ago that when I got sacked in my last job at Newcastle, I thought, that's me, I'm finished with the management. I've always thought of sort of shot from the hip. I'm not in the business of trying to make lots of friends. I'm too long in the tooth for that. So I made a decision, I'm just going to say it as it is. I'm entitled to an opinion because of the time I've spent in the game and what I've done in the game. And I'm sure people disagree with me a lot of the time, but it's my opinion. And I don't, you know, if Liverpool are not doing so well, I've got to say that, and as much as it hurts me. But I think, you know, people are, you know, there's people worried about social media. You know, I work with people who in between, you know, when adverts come on, they're checking the phones to see what people are saying about them. Unfortunately, that's not my world, and I think there are some good people, but you know, some people that, you know, really, really have to forget about social media and what people are saying about them and forget their allegiances at times. As hard as it is, you know,
That must be not a detrimental thing to do, but it's certainly a dangerous thing to do, Graeme, to go on social media at halftime and see what people are saying about you as a pundit, considering.
Well, I know what people are saying. I don't know if he's on there. But that's of no interest to me. You know, we know the problems with social media. We know the advantages of it. And it's something I've chosen not to do. It's not of any interest to me. But I turn up. I do my job. As I say, I think I'm entitled to an opinion. And I say what I feel. And then I can go home. And now that I don't manage anymore, I can sleep at night. I don't worry what, you know, what people are saying about me. That's for others.
I'm really interested in that, the difference between being a manager and then being a pundit and having... It sounds like you just enjoy life much more now.
Oh, yeah, complete. You know, I used to take it personal. I've not managed for a good, 15 years now. And it became unenjoyable. It became a situation where the good times did not compensate for the bad times. And then I think the game, even going back 15 years, the players were very different, with a very different attitude to the one I grew up with. And that's to be expected. You know, that is the world we live in. You know, it evolves, it moves forward, not always to the betterment of, if we're talking football, the betterment of the game. And I think today it's never been more difficult to be a manager. You know, I think in many respects, the tail wags the dog now.
I think that's clearly true from agents and from sponsors sometimes and from the broadcasters and for a million different reasons. So it's a massive job where your field and your ability to influence the outcome diminishes with almost every passing week. And I actually feel in some instances, certainly in here, and you would have seen the punditry in Ireland, it can be more influential to be a good pundit on TV than to be a manager of a team that's struggling or even a team that's doing okay in the championship?
I'm not sure you're more influential. I think you can sort of, you can influence to a point. I mean, the manager still has the immediate influence over players. He's working every day, he's picking the team, he's not, leaving people out. The majority might think shouldn't be out, or he's making substitutions that people shouldn't, that people think he shouldn't be doing. But I don't know, I don't look at myself, you've thrown at me this morning about whether an influence. I've never thought of that. I honestly mean this. I've never thought that I have any influence on people's opinion about a player, about a manager, or about a football club. I turn up and I try and do it as honestly. And you did say earlier the thing has changed. We have to be very careful the words we use today. And that is a fact. That's, I think, in every walk of life. And it has changed very much in that respect, but I try to turn up and be truthful. And I come back to it. If I upset people, I'm not apologising for it. It's just that'll be my opinion on that particular day, on that particular incident. And if it upsets people, then, that's their problem. I turn up and try to see it straight and how I see it and offer an opinion about... The way I see punditry, I try and look at the game. And I'm trying to point out stuff that maybe the guy at home is not seeing. Because obviously if you've been in the professional game, you are seeing certain things that maybe the layman wouldn't. And that's how I see the job. And then again, I don't think I'm shy in criticising people if I feel I have to be criticised.
Yeah, that's fair enough. So recently Roy Keane, for example, was linked with the Celtic job. I'm not sure if the links were more over here than they were over there, but if, for example, he had come and said, what do you think about this? What would your advice have been in that hypothetical situation, obviously?
In taking the Celtic job?
Yeah.
Oh, walk up there.
Oh, really? Because I thought you were going to say, the punditry is brilliant. Stick with the punditry. No. You'll never sleep again.
We'll get back to that. But I'll tell what happened with me, and it's an Irish connection. I was doing... I'd been sacked at Newcastle. I came over to Ireland to do it was the World Cup, and I was in the back of the car coming from the airport into town, and I was sharing it with Johnny Giles. It was in France. What was in France? Because Johnny Giles was going out to France. I think the following day or 2 days later.
The Euros.
And he said, "I tell you, it's going back obviously a long time." I tell you, he said to me, "I tell you what will happen. You have a year or 2 years out of the game." And then you'll say to yourself, why did I ever do that job for so long? And he was 100% correct. So I have Johnny to thank for that. And he was right. Because you don't realise what it is. It's a bit like a hamster wheel when you're a manager. You get on it and you just leave one job or get sacked from a job and go on and you can't wait to get back into it. And then when you're back into it, you're thinking, this is great. And then you start. Like all managers, you're an open book and you're friendly with everyone. And then the longer you're in the game, you end up retreating into yourself. You're trusting no one. You're suspicious of people. Who's telling the press this, who's telling the press that, who's leaking this story, and then you become a very different person. I believe, you know, I was a very different person to what I am today, what I was before management. I think I'm quite a friendly guy. You know, I'm not an aggressive type at all. That was something I did for a living a long, long time ago, and that was me. And maybe I come across as that on television, but I would be a very, very poor poker player because I can't hide my feelings. I can't, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm not happy with something, and the camera might pick me up sort of with a funny glare on my face or shaking my head at something. As I said, I'd be a very poor poker player.
Roy Keane probably wouldn't be amazing at poker either. So
he'd be hopeless.
But you suggest that this would have been a good career move for him.
Yeah, well, he's desperate to get back. Listen, I didn't know Roy. We lived near each other in Cheshire. I have waved to him a few times when he's been out walking his dog because he used to come down the road and then down the lane where I used to live. I've never been any time in his company, but I have to say I enjoy his company. He's very funny. His humour is I find very funny. Football man, and I have, you know, I've spoken to him about him returning to management, and he's very keen to do that. I would say, well, I used to, you know, say to people close to me, I said, can you imagine how good it'll be if it's Roy Keane versus Stephen Gerrard in Glasgow? All of a sudden, it's not just Scotland and Ireland and a wee bit of England talking about Scottish football again. The world will be talking about it. So Scottish football, it would be a great thing.
Yeah, I can see that makes sense. I feel like you, though, that the difference that we now are all getting access to that humour on a weekly basis, and I just really enjoy the punditry, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. But that was really interesting. And one last thing, do you think Gareth Southgate is going to be influenced by the debate around Trent Alexander-Arnold, for example? It's obviously, you know, it's the subject of a lot of conversation at the moment after the goal at the weekend and Jamie Carragher bringing up the debate again. But actually, you know, there's two sides to that. There's one, they get criticised for thinking about themselves in the moment, and the other side is actually that's what everybody's talking about, and so therefore it's a reflection of the reality. What's Gareth Southgate doing when he's watching this and listening to the commentary and listening to the debates? Is he being influenced by the punditry, do you think?
I have no idea. I don't know him. I've met him, obviously, but I don't know him. In that position, if it was me, I would be only interested in what my own thoughts are and what the people close to me, the people I work with, are. I mean, that really can't be listening to Tom, Dick or Harry, who's on the television, sitting there in an armchair, never been anywhere near management, and saying he should do this and do that. And again, that's an enormous advantage I had, or have, over lots of the guys who have played the game. They might play the game at the highest level. But I did that for the best part of 20 years, and I was a manager for about 18 years, so I have that. I know the thought process when you've got difficult decisions. Yeah, I don't think he'll be listening to too many pundits about their opinion on much. I think he's got people close to him that he would listen to.
You would hope so, because otherwise you end up not having a philosophy and trying to...
Yeah, the pundits pick the team for him.
And make the public happy, which never works out.
No, that's very short term.
The Liverpool-Madrid game tonight, I think everybody feels like if this was a full Anfield, it'd be game on, because we've seen it happen so often in the past. Without the Anfield crowd and with their home record in the league being so poor, what is the best hope for Liverpool tonight? How can they somehow interrupt the pattern of the first game?
Well, I have to say I was quite surprised at Real Madrid in the first game. You know, they looked a good team, but I think that was as much to do with Liverpool not being quite at it. I think maybe they... I don't know why Thiago didn't play in that start in that first game. Keita, I think his career at Liverpool has never really started for me. I think the two young centre-backs... When you're playing in the big games, you have to have your best players. And I think you witnessed that with the two games with Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich have gone out of the competition, have dominated both games, should have gone through, but the main man, the guy, wow, he's got 40-odd goals this year already, Lewandowski, he didn't play. And I would argue with anyone, if he plays in both those games, Bayern Munich will go through. So Liverpool, going into the big games, missing two centre-backs, you can be guaranteed that any big game you play, you're not going to dominate the ball for 90 minutes. You will be asked to defend at times. And I come back to it. You have to, and Benzema is a proper centre-forward. You have to have your best players on the pitch in the big games. The chances come, they're rare in the game, so you have to take them. And I think Liverpool are more than capable. But break it down like this. Liverpool, so they have to win 1-0 in each half. That is not beyond Liverpool. Would, if the crowd had been in, yes, most certainly. You know, I've played there on European nights. There is nowhere better. The atmosphere the crowd generate, there is nowhere better. But that's not the case. But I would look at it that way. I think it's not impossible for Liverpool to win 1-0 in the first half and 1-0 in the second half. Then they would go through. And you have to say, Liverpool, you know, Salah, man, he's not quite firing. For me, you're not quite firing. But in Salah, you can bet. I think Liverpool will score. It's just what they do at the other end.
Yeah, that is the problem. So there's been a debate going about Klopp this year and whether or not he could have somehow changed his style and philosophy to take account of the fact that he was missing his first choice centre-backs and then the replacement centre-backs obviously getting injured as well. Where do you come down on that? Because obviously his track record has been absolutely sensational. He's restored Liverpool to one of the best teams in world football very quickly. Like, is it possible he can change his philosophy and style to take account for the fact that he has those injuries, or is it just like this is a lost season and that's, it's mend and make do in many respects?
Listen, he could still end up in the final of the Champions League. He could still easily win it. I mean, football is mad. You can't work with a group of players for, how long has he been there? 4 or 5 years, saying this is the way, to play this way is the best way, it suits you, it's the way I want to play, we will win trophies this playing this way. He's done all that, all those boxes are ticked. You can't then say, after getting a couple of injuries, we're going to change completely, we're going to drop off, we're not going to hold a high line, we're going to be less of a pressing team. They're still trying to do the exact same things, but with lesser quality players. And I come back to it. You know, Liverpool never play any easy games. Liverpool, like all the big teams, every game's a cup final. Whether they're playing Man United or they're playing West Brom will have half a team that, when the fixtures came out in August, will look at the trip to Anfield and say, that's a game I'm looking forward to this year because I grew up being a Liverpool supporter, or I grew up being a Man United supporter and I don't like Liverpool. Whatever way you dress up, Man United are the same. Do not play any easy games. So, now, I'm going back to Klopp. It'd be impossible. I think you'd be foolish to criticise him in any shape or form. The injuries have absolutely hammered that football club this year. And what I would be critical of is some of the players that, you know, we thought were really big players and, you know, leaders, have not really been up to the task. You know, you got your best centre-half, certainly in British football, out for all season. He's been missed. Then Matip and Gomez, they're not. And then some of the boys that have come in, and I'm looking at, you know, some of the lads in midfield, they've not been up for the challenge. I think the Wijnaldum situation, where it became pretty clear early on that he wasn't going to stay, what impact that would have in the dressing room and other players, with Jordan Henderson going out injured, who's the sort of catalyst for all the high pressing and the intense pressing that they do. The injuries have really hurt them this year, you know, in key areas. But I would offer some criticism that some of the players have not responded to some of the big players being out injured. They've not said, right, he's gone, but I'm going to be a main man now. I don't think we've seen enough of that from some experienced players that I thought would stand up and be counted more than have done.
Graham, it's always great to have you on. Really thoughtful stuff. Thanks a million for joining us this morning. Yeah, and
it's always a pleasure.
Thanks a million. Cheers.
All right. See you next time. Cheers.
Graham Souness giving us some very interesting insights there and some thoughts. It would be box office. It would have been box office if Keane had got the Celtic job, but maybe in the long run it's actually better for Keane himself. We'll see.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.